I'm here with pianist Shai Wasner, who has a new recording of Schubert piano sonatas out. Welcome, Shai.
Thanks, Brad. Good to be with you.
Yeah. I've been speaking with some artists that have new recordings out, and we've talked a little bit about how COVID-19 has been affecting, you know, their careers and their appearances. I wonder if we could start by just talking a little bit about, you know, how it's affected you. I've seen a few videos of you online. You're still getting the music out there, but what do you see going on right now?
You know, I can only speak for myself and say that even though I knew before how important live audience was for our art form, this has really driven the point home. I mean, you know, I think the streaming is nice and inevitable in many ways in the current situation, but there is absolutely no substitute for a live concert. And I do hope that the, you know, music lovers out there enjoy recordings in the meantime, which are a different kind of art form.
Yeah.
And don't give up on going to live concerts once the coast is clear, because, you know, I can, you know, again, I speak for myself saying that a lot of the inspiration for a performing artist really comes from the audience. You feel the audience, you feel when they're with you, you feel when they're not, and then you find ways to get them to be with you. And there's really nothing like it when, you know, when you get a group of people, doesn't even matter really how big that group of people is.
Yeah.
To really follow you and give you their attention and sort of share with them these amazing masterpieces that we're fortunate to have. I don't think there is really anything like it. I don't think there will ever be a substitute for that. So hopefully, you know, before not too long, we'll be able to go back to that.
Absolutely. Having said all of that, though, we're going to talk about Franz Schubert. And when I think of Schubert, I think of, you know, salon music, I think of small gatherings, I think of intimacy. And in some ways, this music here on your new recording is sort of the perfect music to immerse yourself in a time of quarantine. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yes. I do agree. You know, it's, for me, every great composer is great because they were able to put into music an emotion that nobody was able to sort of put into music before. And I think in the case of Schubert, nobody could capture loneliness and longing for love, if you will, and longing for belonging. You know, nobody was able to do that quite like Schubert, certainly not before him, and maybe not even ever since. And I think he was really the first one to find the music for alienation and loneliness. And yet at the same time, great hope.
Yeah.
There is really always in the music, almost in every piece, be it a short piece or a long piece, a short song or an hour long song cycle or a symphony, there's always this mixture, that is so typical of Schubert, you know, the tragic and the hopeful sort of side by side, always inextricably linked. And I feel that maybe this moment right now, you know, this music maybe is even more relevant than ever. It just seems to capture that feeling.
Now, in recent years, you focused in on these final six piano sonatas of Schubert. This recording completes your recorded version of all six of those. And I've read that you call them symphonies. You know, they're like symphonies or they're like novels. Tell us why they stand apart from the rest of his piano music.
When he came to write the last six, of course, he didn't know they were going to be the last six, but they became sort of the ultimate statement in that genre. He became a lot more ambitious. The pieces are much longer than all the previous sonatas. They're more ambitious. You know, the scope is bigger, not just the length of the music, but also just the depth and the breadth of statements. And so even though each of the last six is very different from the other, they do share that in common. They have this sort of, I say symphonic, not in the sense that it's trying to be a symphony or that it was supposed to be a symphony and he never got to orchestrate it. I mean symphonic in the sense of you know the philosophy behind it, the ambition of expressing a whole world in every piece, you know, which you do see with symphonies, especially of later composers, in the sense that a great novel, you know, encompasses a whole world, so to speak, you know, a world of characters and an enormous range of emotions. You do find that in these sonatas. So even though the piano sonata may seem on paper like a modest genre, certainly with Beethoven and even more so with Schubert, it grows into this gigantic thing. And you see that most of all in the last sixes he wrote. Than anything else, it seems to me, and I can't even tell you exactly why, because these pieces don't have stories, they don't have text to them, but a lot of the time you do feel that he's dealing with big thoughts and big issues, you know, you feel sort of him grappling with, you know, mortality, life and death, continuity and discontinuity. You see that a lot in the music, you know, you have whole stretches that flow uninterrupted, with, you know, these gorgeous melodies, and then all of a sudden something can stop and quite shockingly turn into something else that's completely unexpected. And so you have all these very, very dramatic dynamics between different types of music all taking place within the same piano sonata.
Well, you mentioned, of course, that they don't have texts associated with them, but I've seen some videos of you talking about these sonatas, and you bring out some interesting correlations between little bits of Schubert songs in some of these sonatas that do have a text.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the most, the clearest example, I think, is the A minor sonata, which is not very well known, and it's really quite an amazing piece. And in that piece, he seems to like unison passages a lot. In other words, these bare passages where there is no harmony, no chords, just a single line, a very austere kind of piano writing. And as I was working on this sonata, I came across a song about an undertaker and one of the sort of darkest songs that there are of Schubert. And there is a very similar passage also in unison between the singer and the piano, just basically same notes, no chords, no harmony. So it does make you wonder, and also other gestures that are common to the song and the sonata kind of makes you wonder if really that piece is in many ways about death. And that's certainly the darkest of the sonatas on this record. Of course, I don't want the listeners to think that it's all dark. Yeah. There are bright pieces too, and really, as I said before, nobody quite gets the bittersweet relationship between the pessimistic and the optimistic in music as Schubert does. When the sun comes out in this music, I mean, there's just nothing more touching.
Well, Schubert tends to sort of switch back and forth like a light switch with his songs, you know, in major keys and minor keys, and they just pop back and forth. I mean, that's sort of writ large in the piano sonatas as well. But I hear some of that occasionally where it's just all of a sudden does an about face. And like you say, the sun comes out. Maybe talk a little bit more about some of the sunny spots in these particular sonatas that mean something to you.
Yeah, you know, the G major sonata, for example, which is really another remarkable piece, and unlike anything that you see in piano music, certainly before and not really even after, is a good example of that, because most of the sonata is quite calm, even static. It's like he's observing sort of the world from some, you know, a removed place, so to speak. But then you have the last movement, which is just this idyllic, I often think of sort of children playing in some field, you know, in some idyllic village in the Alps or something. You really have that kind of feeling that he's describing something that's almost unreal in how optimistic it is. And then, of course, in the middle, through Schubert's, you know, voice, in the middle there is tragedy. There is the trombones of doom sort of blare in the middle of the movement. But then somehow again he goes back to that sunny G major thing that was going on before, and it's almost like he's saying to us that, you know, the tragedy occurs, you know, unannounced, unexpected, and yet somehow life goes on, and you just accept it. In other words, he you never feel in this music that he's trying to make sense of the dark, of the tragic. He doesn't try to resolve that tension so much as he's really sort of accepting it. There's a sense of resignation, but also consolation in the way the music just simply goes back to its flow. The G major comes back, the sun comes out, children go back to play outside, and then the piece is over. And that's what I mean by this bittersweet, you know, mix, which is really kind of amazing. It kind of like takes life as it is, as it comes.
Well, these sonatas sort of took a while to get a foothold in the repertoire, mostly because, you know, everybody was comparing them to Beethoven.
Right.
And we haven't talked about Beethoven yet, but he is really kind of a shadow over the piano sonata in C minor, or at least Schubert references him to a certain extent, judging by what I've seen of your analysis. Can you talk about that particular sonata?
Yeah. From the late ones, this is definitely the most Beethovenian, and I'm pretty sure that it's on purpose. In other words, he must have been aware of all these references to very specific Beethoven pieces. The beginning of this Schubert sonata is almost note for note the same as a theme that Beethoven used for a set of variations in the same key. So that must have been some sort of an homage. And in the slow movement, you hear echoes of the Pathétique sonata, which is pretty famous by Beethoven, especially the second movement of the Pathétique, which is very famous.
Yeah.
But it gets a Schubertian twist. In other words, where in Beethoven, a very similar tune is quite hopeful, in the Schubert, he's almost taking the same tune and gives it a very dark twist. And because the C minor generally is quite a dark piece, almost demonic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
He does something at the last movement where, you know, the whole movement is a tarantella, which again is supposed to be a sunny southern Italian dance. but he often uses tarantellas to really create this feeling of a feverish, breathless, you know, horse ride through the woods, kind of like in the Arrow King, in the famous song.
Yeah.
His tarantellas tend to be quite harrowing and breathless and not to mention really difficult to play. But it's a very brilliant piece and the most compact of the four that are on this recording. It's the shortest and sort of the most immediate in a way. Not so philosophical like the others, but really more virtuosic and you know, very, very direct.
You you took the words out of my mouth, because when I was listening to it, I was thinking that sounds like the Earl King, or that driving rhythm, you know.
Yeah.
Is akin to that song.
And he even has a middle section, which is in a major key, but very hushed. And it totally makes you think of the Earl King himself when he speaks in the song. And he's trying to entice the child to come with him, which of course is a metaphor for death. And you have basically the same kind of music, not the same notes, but same feeling of this major key, but very, very hushed and yet very agitated. And you know, maybe only Schubert is able to take a major key and turn it into such a scary moment.
You've talked about sort of the light and the dark of Schubert, and what is it about this composer and his music that has attracted you? What is it that you really enjoy in exploring these sonatas?
You know, it's funny. I mean, personally, my road to Schubert, so to speak, went through Mahler. I was, as a kid, I was just infatuated with Mahler, with anything by Mahler. And I still am in many ways. I mean, I'm a big fan. And years later, it occurred to me that a lot of Mahler really comes from Schubert. He's kind of like the only one that actually continued Schubert in many ways. Both were, you know, song composers at heart, but also worked really well with big forms, big statements. And so that was part of it. But I think more than anything, it's really what I mentioned before, this sort of acceptance, the feeling that you know, he accepts the world as it is, so to speak. You know, he's not really trying to make it better. And he sees the bad and the good, and how sometimes they can coexist almost improbably together. Whether it has anything to do with his own life or not, I don't know. It's really, you'll never know that. But it's that feeling of, you know, he can be naive, and yet under the naive strain, there is a very knowing strain. There is a very powerful and deep understanding of the world, of, you know, human beings. There's just, it's like a well that's endlessly deep, you know, the emotional world of Schubert's music. And not that it's not the same with the other great composers that I also feel like I need in my life. But, you know, it's perhaps even more so with Schubert, and in ways that I may not have been able to explain to myself fully, to be honest. It's just, you know, you need that kind of connection with the composers that you play. It's just, the nature of being a performing musician, just part of your life.
I feel like there is, you know, somewhere in there, in all of that music, a message that certainly resonates all the time, but especially so now under the current situation. Piano Shai Wassenaar has a new recording of piano sonatas out of Franz Schubert, four different sonatas here. Wonderful recording. I've been listening to it and really enjoying it, and really enjoyed talking with you, Shai. We'll link to your website, which is shaiwassenaar.com, from our website as well. And I do hope that folks will go check it out. Shai Wassenaar, what do you think, you know, Schubert would say if he was here with us right now? I know that's an impossible question, but just out of curiosity, does anything pop to mind?
That's a very big question.
Yeah. Got another 15 minutes, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they say that his personality was, in many descriptions, make it seem almost bipolar. I mean, that he had moments of, you know, all the socializing and the you know, the joie de vivre, that apparently, but also a very dark mode that he would go into, and perhaps depression. So I, when he was isolated, you know, he was, there was a period where he was actually isolated for different reasons, away from all of his friends and all the famous circle of friends and away from Vienna. And that was very bad for him. So, I have a feeling that he would sympathize with this situation and understand it, you know, really well firsthand. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's hard to imagine, but I like to think, to be honest, I like to think that these guys, the great composers that we worship today, we should not forget that their life was a lot harder than the life of most people today. Because life in general, the standard of living was abysmal compared to modern life in most cities, at least. And for most people. And it's kind of astonishing that they were able to come up with all this great art in spite of all the limitations and all the terrible hygiene and just, you know, it's mind-boggling when you read about these things. It's mind-boggling that the conditions that they lived in, you know, have to remind yourself that could be even worse.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have cell phones to distract them. Also,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. Maybe that's the answer.
Right there. Okay. Well, you make some very astute points in that regard. I appreciate it. Piano Shai Wasner, new recording of Schubert Piano Sonatas. Shai, thanks so much for spending time with us today on FM 91.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Brett.